1905. January 1st, 1905. Prayer and Faith, Ellen G. White. There can be no true prayer without true faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Prayer and faith are the arms by which the soul hangs upon the neck of infinite love and grasps the hand of infinite power. God does not recognize dumb children as far as experience in His truth is concerned. Faith is an active, working power. The newborn faith in Christ is revealed by prayer and praise. Prayer is a relief and a comfort to the troubled soul. The sincere, humble suppliant at the throne of grace may know that he is communing with God through the divinely appointed means, and that it is his privilege to understand what God is to the believing soul. We must have a realization of our needs. We must hunger and thirst after life in Christ and through Christ. Then we shall come to him in humility and sincerity, and he will give us the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Those who know the truth must give of their means to send it to those who know it not. They must not be so engrossed in worldly business that they have little time to keep their souls refreshed and strengthened with the heavenly bread of which they must eat daily if they would prepare for the future immortal life. There should be strict economy in the outlay of means, that all may have something to bring to the Lord, saying, "Of thine own we freely give thee." Thus they are to offer to God thanksgiving for the blessings received from him. Thus, too, they are to lay up for themselves treasures beside the throne of God. Hear the words of the great teacher. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. February 1, 1905. Upward and Onward, Ellen G. White. We are Christ's witnesses, and we are not to allow worldly interests and plans so to absorb our time and attention that we pay no heed to the things that God has said must come first. There are higher interests at stake. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Christ gave himself willingly and cheerfully to the carrying out of the will of God. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In view of all that he has done, should we feel it a hardship to deny ourselves? Shall we draw back from being partakers of Christ's sufferings? His death ought to stir every fiber of our beings, making us willing to consecrate to his work all that we have and are. As we think of what he has done for us, our hearts should be filled with gratitude and love, and we should renounce all selfishness and sin. What duty could the heart refuse to perform under the constraining influence of the love of God and Christ? "I am crucified with Christ," the Apostle Paul declared. "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let us relate ourselves to God in self-denying, self-sacrificing obedience. Faith in Christ always leads to willing, cheerful obedience. He died to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There is to be perfect conformity in thought, word, and deed to the will of God. Heaven is for those only who have purified their souls through obedience to the truth. It is a place where unsullied purity alone can dwell. "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." In perfect obedience there is perfect happiness. These things have I spoken unto you, Christ said, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. May the Lord bless us and strengthen our faith and lead us onward to the heights to which we have not yet ascended. He gave Christ to die for us, that we might be purified from all iniquity. He has promised to pour out His Spirit upon us, that we may be sanctified through the truth. He has given us His Word, that through obedience to its teachings we may be made holy. It is our privilege, our duty, to grow in grace. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. March 1, 1905. Practical Instruction. Ellen G. White.
What can we say that will convince those who know the truth that if they would enter into eternal life, they must obey the words of Christ? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought, no anxious, complaining thought, for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The health of the body is to be carefully guarded. The fashions of this degenerate age are not to be followed, regardless of the injury that these fashions do to the body that Christ has purchased at an infinite cost. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He who died for human beings speaks to every one in these words, reproving those who give so much time and thought to dress to the neglect of the soul's highest interests. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In these words the great masterworker speaks to every one. There are many who spend upon dress large sums of money, which ought to be used to feed and clothe those who are suffering from hunger and cold. Many of those for whom Christ gave his life are without the cheapest, most common clothing, while others are spending thousands of dollars in the effort to satisfy the never-ending demands of fashion. Even among those who profess to be children of God, there are those who spend more than is necessary upon dress. We should dress neatly and tastefully, but, my sisters, leave off the unnecessary trimmings, and lay aside the means thus saved for the advancement of the cause of God. Learn the lesson of self-denial, and teach this lesson to your children. Every penny is needed now in the work that must be done. The necessities of the suffering must be relieved, the naked must be clothed, and the hungry fed, and the truth for this time must be proclaimed to those who know it not. By denying ourselves of that which is not necessary, you may have a part in this great work now being done. April 1, 1905. Faith. Ellen G. White. We must have more faith. Let us begin to believe unto salvation. Let us come to God in faith, fully assured that as we surrender all to Him, He will make us Christ-like in character. We must tell this to all over and over again. Then, one with Christ, we can reveal Him to the world. Then all our fitful, haphazard work will cease. Let us honor God by showing firm faith and unswerving trust. Let us remember that He is not glorified by the manifestation of a fretful, unhappy spirit. The Lord cares for the flowers. He gives them beauty and fragrance.
will he not much more give us the fragrance of a cheerful disposition? Will he not restore in us the divine image? Then let us have faith in him. Let us now, just now, place ourselves where he can give us his Holy Spirit. Then we can give to the world a revelation of what true religion does for men and women. The joy of a Savior filling our hearts gives us that peace and confidence which enables us to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. In his word, the Lord has made it plain that his people are a joyful people. True faith reaches up the hand and lays hold upon the one who is behind the promise. Great shall be the peace of thy children. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. In God we may rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Men shall be pleased in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Let us strive to educate the believers to rejoice in the Lord. Spiritual joy is the result of active faith. God's people are to be full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Then he will be glorified in them. July 1, 1905. Use of Talents. Ellen G. White. The Lord has called, and he still calls for those who are apparently blind to their deficiencies, the self-complacent ones, who plan and devise how they can best situate themselves. God help the spiritually blind to see that there is a world to be saved. The truth is to be made manifest to those who know it not. And this work calls for the self-denying grace of Jesus Christ. Thousands who are now spiritually useless should be digging up their buried talents and putting them to the exchangers. Many have written for themselves their resolves to do as little as possible, and these have sealed their resolutions for the judgment of that great day when every talent will be required by God, that he may see how much each one of his servants has gained by trading. Those who think they will surely reach heaven while they follow their own ways and imaginations might better break the seal and re-examine their title to the treasures of heaven. The men and women who feel at ease in Zion might better become anxious about themselves and inquire, What am I doing in the Lord's vineyard? Why am I not yoked up with Christ, a laborer together with God? Why am I not learning in Christ's school his meekness and lowliness of heart? Why have I no burdens to bear in the service of Christ? Why am I not a decided and earnest Christian, employing all my powers in laboring for the salvation of souls who are perishing all around me? Saith not the word, We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Shall I not, with my Savior's help, build a character for time and eternity, and promote godliness in myself and in others, the sanctification of the truth? Come, my brethren and sisters, and seek conversion of soul, body, and spirit. Unfold your napkin, and begin to trade with your Lord's goods. In so doing, you will gain other talents. Every soul entrusted with talents is to use his talents to benefit others. Who, in the great day of final reckoning, will say, I was afraid, and went and hid thy money in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. To such the Lord will answer, Thou wicked and slothful servant, Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Man is only required to do according to his ability, but his ability will surely grow if it is exercised. Wake up, brethren, for your own soul's sake. Wake up. Without the grace of Christ, you can do nothing. Work while you can. Be not deceived into thinking that your lot in life is to be constantly favored, that you can shirk the path of self-denial and self-sacrifice, which Christ bids all share with Him. You will gain a valuable experience in being partakers of the self-denial and self-sacrifice of Christ. August 1, 1905. Strength for Weakness. Ellen G. White. The Lord would have your thoughts center upon Him. For every service, every self-denial, every sacrifice we make, the Lord has guaranteed to requite us. Not because it is a debt He owes us, but because His heart is full of infinite love, full of mercy and tenderness, overflowing toward us, in that He will repay us 100-fold in this life, and give us in the world to come life everlasting. The reason why so many are weak is that they do not cultivate faith, but look at the objectionable and discouraging features. They do not consider that all the universe of heaven is waiting to become co-laborers with them, waiting to make them the living agencies to bless the world with the message God shall give them to bear.
The Lord Jesus is our strength and happiness. He is the great storehouse from which the human agent may on every occasion draw strength and happiness. How grieved He is when, after He has given us a rich experience in His willingness to help us in any emergency, we withdraw our eyes from His sufficiency to look on and bemoan our own weakness. We forget to behold Him and to trust Him as the one ever ready to help those who need His help. We have no right to bemoan our own weakness and inefficiency because He has shown Himself to be an ever-present help in time of need. In the place of studying our poor, ignorant, worthless selves, we need to study Jesus and become more and more able to behold Him, talk of Him, apprehend His character, avail ourselves of His kindness and helpfulness, and receive the blessings He proffers us. As we receive of Him, we have something with which to help others. Thus, receiving and imparting, we grow in love toward God, increasing in faith and peace and assurance and holiness, which is wholeness toward Him. We give to Him all that there is of us, that the blessings which He has brought within our reach may be communicated to others as freely as they have been communicated to us from the Lord Jesus, our Restorer. To every one who believes, He is as the tree of life in the paradise of God. His branches reach to the lower world in order that the blessings He has purchased for us may be brought within our reach. From this tree we may pluck and eat, and then guide others to it, that they also may eat. December 1, 1905. The Word of God. Ellen G. White. I have been reading the Word of God, unweakened by any of the explanations of man. So many weaken the real truth by many words. If they would but let Christ speak and simply apply His words to their hearts, so much more blessing would they receive. A dying saint once cried out, "Speak to me the words of God. Give me some of the bare word." Reading the bare word brings wisdom from God Himself. The Spirit of Christ is enfolded in the word. To the receptive understanding, it unfolds the mind and will of God. Let us receive the precious words of God just as they read. Let us not cover them up with human suppositions. The word is ours to comprehend. Let us have faith in God. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Here is the commission. As obedient servants, you are to work in close connection with Christ Jesus of Nazareth. May the Lord grant that the people who sit in darkness shall see great light, and that to those who are in the region and shadow of death, light may spring up. In simple, trusting faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take right hold of a power which you cannot create, but which is for you. Let the workers be filled with a spirit of cheerfulness and thanksgiving and rejoicing. Let every one make a personal consecration of himself or herself to God's service. Let them surrender their hearts to the working of the Holy Spirit, placing themselves in the right relation to God. It is time that we believed that all heaven is interested in the work before us. Christ came to this world to give himself a sacrifice for the saving of sinners. Then believe that he will be with all who give themselves unreservedly to this work.